Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to prepare your people for the things that you've told us are coming. And we know you're always going to be merciful, but you're also going to do your will, and you're going to bring chastening, and it's necessary. And we love you for it, Lord. We know you work all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So thank you, Father. Amen. All right. I want to speak to you again and also help prepare you for what God has warned. He's warned of coming pestilence. And over a period of a couple of years, we have shared with you on and off that the Lord has said that the deep state will be the cause of a plague or a pestilence that will attack the United States, and more exactly, Christians, who they consider to be their mortal enemy. There is such a thing crossing the world, as we reported to you last time. We don't need to go back and cover that. Maybe just a paragraph to explain something here, but at this time, border agents are desperately seeking to keep this thing out of the United States, and that's the African swine flu. But this is not possible from a natural point of view, as we will see. Also, God has said it would come to fulfill his will to bring down factions in the church and the government and those who stand in the way of his people, meaning apostate leadership of churches and families. And he's pointed out several things that he's targeting here. I'm not going to say it's not going to reach a much larger group of people, but this is the main thing that the Lord says he's going to chasten. But we Christians have a Passover lamb who I've explained to you very much, and we've covered that quite a bit. I just like to point out a few more things here. I always think that this is going to be the last one on this. I think this one is too. We know that our lamb has been sacrificed already. 1 Corinthians 5. For those who, of course, Exodus 12, eat the lamb, which is the word of God, right? So we're not going to cover that again today, but go on to some other things that I think will be greatly helpful for us to be in the position of, right? So remember in our last report on this subject that the African swine fever, RNA, opens the door for many diseases, and it is spreading throughout the world. And as we reported to you, the pig is a natural mixing machine to cross things from creatures to humans. Discovered within the RNA of this over 14,000-year-old wolf-dog hybrid that went extinct along with the woolly mammoths and tens of millions of other species, this report continues, was a previously unknown virus, specifically an RNA virus, whose notable human diseases caused by it include the Ebola virus disease, SARS, rabies, common cold, influenza, hepatitis C, hepatitis E, West Nile fever, polio, and measles. And that's a finding made by scientists working on the State Research Center of Virology and Biotechnology near Novosibirsk in the Siberian region. And after making this discovery, saw that this research laboratory being rocked by a massive explosion, which is the exact protocol demanded to occur when a newly discovered virus becomes unable to be contained or controlled. So that's very interesting. And I don't know that this story is the truth. And the reason I say that is we know that the UN is even recently talking about that they must do something about the population. It must be gotten down. And they sent out their emissaries to talk about disease X and how it is coming. And we must prepare. And, of course, they're preparing us for a disease. And I think they have something to do with spreading it. So, because that's their history, and by the way, the UN is just an arm of the deep state. It's the one world order people. So you cannot trust a thing they say or do. And killing people is something they're good at. So, going on from here. So far, there's nothing in man's arsenal to stop this disease. Here, you know, we can see that naturally it can't be stopped by man from crossing all boundaries. So I'm just going to share a little article here by David Williams. And this came from News Target. It says, "Is this the global pandemic experts are warning about? They say it will be unstoppable because of ease of travel." Well, it's true. There is no way you can cover every entrance into this country. Yes, you can do a fair job at the ports, and you can do something at the border, but you can't stop anything coming across, and especially when the enemy is going to make sure it comes across. So, reading the article a little bit, it says, how prepared is the world to take on another pandemic? Not very, according to two of the world's foremost experts on the subject. Speaking at the recent concluded World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, Dr. Sylvie Briand, a specialist in infectious disease from the World Health Organization, and I'm not pronouncing that right, the Secretary General of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, each shared their thoughts on the matter of the world's preparedness for the next pandemic. According to the two experts, the world should stop looking at pandemics as sort of an isolated incident and instead start recognizing them as the population-wiping abominations that they truly are. And as Ithaj stated to the AFP, pandemics are becoming a real threat to humanity. And Dr. Briand agrees, adding, "We know that it is coming, but we have no way of stopping it." They spoke at Davos in a discussion titled, "Are We Ready for the Next Pandemic?" Evidently, the answer to their question, there is a resounding no. But why exactly do they feel like certain levels should be raised much higher in regard with pandemics, and how will they affect the world's populations? Based on their talk, their main concern is the fact that a global pandemic could be a very real possibility in the near future because of the ease of air travel. But I can tell you, as I'll read a couple of little pieces of other articles, it'll point out to you that that's not the only way it's being removed. It moved around, okay? But they believe that something seemingly simple, such as a flu virus, could end up mutating, which is exactly what we've been talking about with the swine flu virus, and ultimately resulting in the death of millions of people. In fact, this sort of scenario has already happened in the past. The swine flu pandemic of 2009 occurred because of a mutated flu virus. Its death toll has since been estimated to be around 300,000 people all over the world in around 60 different countries. Only recently, a plague outbreak happened in Madagascar, which prompted 10 nearby African countries to be on high alert, although the Madagascar plague outbreak was stopped And there were international aid efforts to minimize the damages that it caused. It still resulted in the deaths of more than 200 individuals, as the outbreak was said to have ravaged the island throughout the winter. So what exactly does ease of travel have to do with all of this? Well, Dr. Briand lays it out thusly. When we travel, the viruses travel with us. In short, she views the availability of easy travel options as one of the possible catalysts for the spread of viruses in the next pandemic, which could very well be a global one. Humanity is more vulnerable in the face of epidemics because we are much more connected and we travel around much more quickly than before, she concluded. There's a fair chance that they could turn out to be exactly right and the entire world could suffer major consequences as soon as the next pandemic occurs. Okay, I want to read this other piece of an article to you. And this one is threat of deadly African swine fever virus triggers biggest seizure of U.S. agricultural products in history. And that's by S.D. Wells. And they've got a picture here of a truck backed up and men with masks on pulling critters out of the back of the truck and laying them on the ground in big rows. And it says, U.S. federal agents seized at least 1 million pounds of pork that was being smuggled from China into the country in more than 50 shipping containers via the ports of New York and New Jersey, meat that could be contaminated with a hemorrhagic virus that wipes out entire pig populations in Asia, the African swine fever virus, has ravaged the world's largest hog industry in China and sent pork prices skyrocketing. And now the Chinese are considering greatly decreasing their imports of U.S. genetically modified soy that's used as pig feed. The deadly pig virus spreads quite easily and is very resilient. And yes, the meat product and even the animal's feed can carry the virus. And when will an outbreak in the United States occur? It's just a matter of time. That's what they say. Everybody's warning, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And representatives of the deep state have, as I shared with you in the last broadcast on this subject, have warned us that it's coming. So, swine fever virus spreading rapidly in China could hit U.S. this year. The deadly pig virus has already spread to Russia and Eastern Europe. It seems just a matter of time before U.S. pigs catch it, spread it, and get wiped out in genocidal form, like in Asia now. U.S. border protections are loose and need a good ratcheting to prevent this catastrophe. It can't, and it just really can't ultimately prevent it. All high-risk pork products should be banned by biosecurity experts immediately. We need quarantine stations and increased cargo inspections, especially for imports coming from Russia and China. If the virus hits U.S. pigs, it could cost our economy tens of billions of dollars a year in losses. Well, you can see right off it's not going to be good for the food industry. And and of course, they've done everything by weather warfare against us to try to do that, bring that down. So remember what I told you and what I showed you straight out of the Bible in many places where God spoke about how Babylon conquered apostate people of God. And they used plague, they used famine, they used fire, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe they used the sword, by the way, which I think is being prepared from several different directions. Some will surprise you. Some of it's coming over, going to come over our southern border. So if the If the virus has hit U.S. pigs, it could cost our economy tens of billions of dollars a year. So far, scientists claim pig virus is not transmittable to humans. But we know from the research on the swine flu virus that it is transmittable to humans. And not only that, it will mix in the pigs to bring many diseases into humans, okay? But the virus could mutate into a form that is, and that dredges up another related horrific concern. Well, I'm just going to read you a little piece of this thing because it's interesting. Deadly pig viruses are used in U.S. childhood vaccines. Oh. Natural News has covered repeatedly how one insidious U.S. vaccine manufacturer and pediatrician, ironically, designed a childhood vaccine for rotavirus using two strains of another deadly Asian pig virus called Circovirus. Okay. So this is crazy stuff. And you know they're using vaccines to kill people and to spread disease and to spread flu. We've proven that over and over. And I'm going to go on to one more article here to show you about another method it is spreading. Okay, that can't be stopped. No way, no how. There's not enough people in an army to stop this. This is China exports African swine fever to Russia. So they tried to sneak this stuff into the United States because they're hurting, you know, financially over this situation, and they don't care how many Americans they kill. So they tried to, you know, sneak those into the United States and got caught. And so here is something that's happening more naturally here. And it is from China to Russia. This is Tyler Durden, 11/5/2019. A new report from Bloomberg details how African swine fever has likely been exported to Russia. This could be problematic for Russia due in part that if the hog-killing diseases spread, it could start wiping out large swaths of herds, and it has already done, as it has already done in China. In the last several months, about 60 cases of African swine fever have been reported to Russian authorities in the Amur Oblast region in Russia, a federal district that borders China in the Russian Far East. And then they have a picture here of the border between Russia and China and the little red dots where they know that the disease has spread. In fact, it goes pretty much along the eastern border all the way down to the Sea of Japan. How can you stop it? It's wild pigs. It's not exporting their tame pigs. It's wild pigs spreading it. So anyway, I'll read on just a little bit. Dirk Pfeiffer, a professor of veterinary medicine and life sciences in the City University of Hong Kong, told Bloomberg that a cross-border spread between the two countries is likely underway. Yes, it is. It is underway. Wild boar are very likely to now also be infected in northern China. China has so far observed at least 50% of its herd this year wiped out from the fast-spreading disease. Russia's hog population in the Far East accounts for barely 2% of the country's total hog population, which for now could be contained. Russell Hasnadzor, Russia's biosecurity watchdog, has been on guard for a cross-border spread since summer, and there have been several reports of Chinese citizens attempting to sneak infected meat across checkpoints into Russia. So there's that human factor right there. Andrei Rosalini, an animal health officer with the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN told Bloomberg that once the wild pig population is infected with African swine fever, then the spread of the disease is virtually uncontrollable. Well, it's happened. In the last month, 275 pigs have died and 2,473 have been killed in the Amur Oblast region, a move spurred by authorities to limit the outbreak. The cross-border spread of African swine fever from China to Russia is undoubtedly a significant cause for concern because now countries bordering China are being affected. Let's see, meanwhile, the U.S. is sitting on record cold storage of pork bellies, something that China and Russia might be interested in. Okay. So that was just a little taste of how this thing is moving. Okay. Now, we've already spoken of our rights in the covenant to be protected from all plagues. And another thing that we can do to bring faith and power when disasters like this happen around us is to let the Spirit of God pray through us to the Father. He always gets what he prays for because he don't know how to pray in unbelief. So, being filled with the Holy Spirit was something, it is written in the Bible. It was meant for every Christian to receive. And it only takes just one reading to find this out, especially in the book of Acts. It was God's plan. Men have come in and spoken against the Holy Spirit. And of course, they're guilty. So you can get power and answer to prayer when in desperate need. Here's a testimony that just happened to come to us at this time from Winnie. She said, I had been praying in tongues last night and felt really edified. And I was talking to God about the gift and how that the devil wants God's people to think negatively about tongues. And I was scrolling through my feed and I saw a video about speaking in tongues, which was very good. So it was a confirmation. And before I went to sleep, I asked the Lord about what kind of great things does praying in tongues do for us in our walk. And then I fell asleep. That was a good question. God brought a really good answer. He said, she said, I dreamed I had a cleft lip on the right side of my mouth. And in the dream, God healed it. I was so excited. I was telling everyone about what he had done. And although I was received with very lukewarm reception, standoffishness even, which made me a little sad, but I was okay because I knew what God had done for me. Amen. I had walked with shame before, but now my head was up high, not in pride, but not hung low in shame either. And I just wanted to share with everyone what God had done. And this, of course, this is still all in the dream, right? And because of what he had done for me, I knew that Zoe, that's her little girl, was also healed. Her cleft lip. You know, she did not have a cleft lip, but she, in the dream, she got one and was delivered of one. Of course, Zoe is her child, a member of her body, right? And the manifestation of that was coming. So I began to tell people Zoe was healed too. And I finally had no shame about that either. I also remember looking outside of the kitchen window in my dream, and it was very dark out. And I was telling someone, a friend, I think, that I had prayed to the Lord regarding tongues and asked what kind of great things this gift brings to our lives. So, obviously, this is spiritual and symbolic, and I have an idea of what some of it might mean because when I woke up, I asked for a verse, and it was, "Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And immediately I thought about a divided tongue or double-minded mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And how God fixed that for me. How he fixed the double-minded mouth. And what we say has a lot to do with what we receive. And of course, speaking in tongues is always a good thing to have come out of our mouths. And after that dream, I immediately woke up at 7 a.m. or a little after. God bless you all. Yes, and she was very confident in the dream because she spoke in tongues. You know, that's one thing that tongues does. Yeah. This is a really good example of how speaking in tongues builds our faith, as was said in Jude 1 and 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You see that? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And she got confidence when she prayed in tongues. And she got a promise from God concerning her daughter, right? So Winnie's good confession in the face of pessimistic people in the dream shows that this faith and this boldness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. He's the high priest of our confession. And Hebrews 13 and 15 says, through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. This is our sacrifice that we must offer. It's talked all about in Psalms, you know, this sacrifice of praise. And that is the fruit of the lips, which makes confession to his name. You see, when we confess him before our high priest, who brings our offering to the Father, our confession to the Father, the Father turns and confesses us before the holy angels, the Bible says. They're the ones that administer deliverance from the curse. They're the ones that administer the salvation of God. So a confession to his name, which means, confession means homologeo, speak the same as. You're saying what God says about you. What does he say about you? By whose stripes you were healed. That's what he says about you, were healed. Why? Because he's looking back at the cross, right? 1 Peter 2:24. So, and the Father, who always answers the Spirit, will surely answer this time too, right? And I'm talking about, you know, for Zoe and Mom and Dad. I said to her, I said, since you personally received the healing in the dream in your body, but it was for little Zoe who had the problem, it is for Chuck too, because you two are one body. Praise the Lord. And it will be so. You know, Acts 2 and 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I know people say you automatically get filled with the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but that's just simply not true. It's not biblical. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? The apostle asked. Since you believed. It's something that comes after salvation. It can come at the same time, but it is always only given to God's people. It's not given to the world. So therefore, you have to be God's people in order to receive the Holy Spirit, whom he's given to them that believe. All right? You have to, in order to be a believer, you have to receive the Holy Spirit and be able to do the works of Jesus, right? And we know it's the Spirit of God who speaks through the person in need to bring faith and power on the scene, like it was in this situation with Winnie. Faith and power came. Confidence came. woke up with plenty of faith to believe she had received, as Jesus said. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you have received them, and you shall have them. Amen. So, in the days to come, this will save many from plagues and anything else. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. He intercedes for you to God. Romans 8:26. And in like manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. What infirmity? Our inability to know how to pray, and sometimes even to pray in faith, you know. He helpeth our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit makes intercession for us. It intercedes for us. Now, if you don't speak in tongues, how can he intercede for you in this way? Why does God want us to pray the prayers? He said, because you have not, because you ask not. He wants people to pray and ask. And Jesus said, ask that you may receive, right? Ask. Well, the Holy Spirit can do this for you in a way that you don't know or understand. Sometimes you pray with people that you don't know what the answer is or even the problem is, but you can pray in tongues, and God, the Holy Spirit, can handle that, right? So the Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know how or what to pray, and sometimes even lack faith, right? He delivers us in situations beyond our ability. And verse 27 goes on to say, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And it's all he also said, if anyone asks anything according to the will of God, he shall have it, right? So the Holy Spirit does not know how to pray in unbelief and always gets what he prays for. Sounds like a pretty important thing. It is so important that apostate preachers say it's not important. Because they say it's the least gift, which the Bible doesn't say. They're adding to the Word of God that brings a curse on them. It is not the least gift. It is the most important gift. You know why it's the most important gift? Because it's the most common gift that's given to God's people. He gives it immediately if people start praying and believing and or having people around them pray for them and to believe and receive, you see. Nowadays, I have to be careful about telling you to go to people and have spirit-filled people and have them lay hands on you and pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, because there are so many of them with demons nowadays that they're imparting. What I say is, if you go to somebody that's bearing fruit in their life shows that they're holy people of God and they're walking with the Lord and they're filled with the Spirit, and they can pray for you too and add their faith to yours, and you can receive the Holy Spirit, which will empower you and which speaking through you will bring about miracles. Amen. And if you have not yet received the power of the Holy and holiness of the Holy Spirit, ask the Father in faith for this gift. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Who was he speaking to? His people. His people. Who can receive this? His people. All right. Now, even science has proven this power. I'm going to read you this little article here by Evelyn Hochstein Polaris. It's a neuroscientific look at speaking in tongues. And the subject is women at a Pentecostal church in the Congo. and the measurement of regional cerebral blood flow during glossolalia, which is their scientific term for speaking in tongues, right? And this is a preliminary study, psychiatry research, neuroimaging in particular. Here's the article. The passionate, sometimes rhythmic, language-like patter that pours forth from religious people who speak in tongues reflects a state of mental possession. Yeah, but let me say, of the Holy Spirit, right? A lot of people spew forth stuff that's not, it's a mental possession, all right, but it's not of the Holy Spirit. So many of them say, now they have some neuroscience to back them up. Yeah, we know. The Spirit gave them utterance. Yes. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania took brain images of five women while they spoke in tongues and found that their frontal lobes, the thinking, willful part of the brain through which people control what they do, were relatively quiet. That's because they're not controlling it. As were the language centers. They were not showing a brain pattern wave that would prove that this person is doing this. In other words, right? The regions involved in maintaining self-consciousness were active. The women were not in blind trances, and it was unclear which region was driving the behavior. That's because the Spirit gave them utterance. This is not from the mind of man, but from the Spirit of God. A person can, and I do it, can have his mind involved elsewhere while speaking in tongues. They can read and retain things with their mind while speaking in tongues. Try doing that. You know, the Holy Spirit, you're giving over your speech to the Holy Spirit. They spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's not them making up the utterance with their intellect, right? The images appearing in the current issue of the Journal of Psychiatry Research, Neuroimaging, pinpoint the most active areas of the brain. The images are the first of their kind taken during this spoken religious practice, which has roots in the Old and New Testaments and in Pentecostal churches established in the early 1900s. Actually, the roots were with Jesus, who spoke in tongues. And later, at Pentecost, the church received tongues in the book of Acts. And because Jesus on the cross said in Mark 15 and 34, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elijah. They did not understand what he was saying. And so, anyway, this thing that Jesus spoke is similar to Aramaic. However, this had to be interpreted by the Spirit to Jews who spoke Aramaic. And they did not understand it, as you can see from the text. Interpretation of tongues is a companion gift of tongues. The women in the study were healthy, active churchgoers. The amazing thing was how the images supported people's interpretation of what was happening, said Dr. Andrew Newberg, leader of the study team, which included Donna Morgan, Nancy Wintering, and Mark Waldman. The way they describe it and what they believe is that God is talking through them, he said. And he said that's what's happening. Dr. Newberg is also a co-author of Why We Believe What We Believe. In the study, the researchers used imaging techniques to track changes in blood flow in each woman's brain in two conditions, once she sang a gospel song and again while speaking in tongues. By comparing the patterns created by these two emotional devotional activities, the researchers could pinpoint blood flow peaks and valleys unique to speaking in tongues. Mrs. Morgan, a co-author of the study, was also a research subject. She is a born-again Christian who says she considers the ability to speak in tongues a gift. "You're aware of your surroundings," she said. "You're not really out of control, but you have no control over what's happening. You're just flowing. You're in a realm of peace and comfort, and it's a fantastic feeling. So you don't control the utterance, but you do cooperate." They spake with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They're opening their mouth, but they're not using their intelligence to speak the utterance. The Holy Spirit's giving the utterance, right? Contrary to what may be common perception, studies suggest that people who speak in tongues rarely suffer from mental problems. Praise the Lord. The recent study of nearly 1,000 evangelical Christians in England found that those who engaged in the practice were more emotionally stable than those who did not. Researchers have identified at least two forms of the practice, one ecstatic and frenzied, and the other subdued and nearly silent. That's because there's really two different gifts. There is the gift of tongues, which is a gift to the church, the assembly, and there's the gift of tongues who is prayed only to the Father, right? So, the new findings contrasted sharply with images taken of other spiritually inspired mental states like meditation, which is often a highly focused mental exercise activating the frontal lobes. The scans also showed a dip in the activity of a region called the left caudate. The findings from the frontal lobes are very clear and make sense, but the caudate is usually active when you have positive effect, pleasure, positive emotions, says James A. Cohen, a psychologist at the University of Virginia. So it's not so clear what that finding says about speaking in tongues. And that's because the mind and the reason is not involved. That's right. In fact, the more you want to get your mind and your reason involved, the less you're able to speak in tongues, because you're not handing it over to the Spirit of God. Amen. And contrary to what preachers say, who don't want you to be filled with the Spirit of God and have all the gifts of the Spirit, because if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to have the rest of the gifts either. Okay? They don't want you to do that. So they tell you tongues is of the devil, which is blasphemy, as Jesus said. And they tell you it's the least gift, and it's not for today, which millions of people will tell you, no, they're lying, and I've got this testimony and that testimony. Yes, awesome testimonies. And the caudate area is also involved in motor and emotional control, Dr. Newberg said. So it may be that practitioners, while mindful of their circumstances, nonetheless cede some control over their bodies and emotions. Yes. The Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And here's a correction on November 11th, 2006. An article in Science Times on Tuesday about brain images of people speaking in tongues misstated the origin of the practice in America. It is thought to have begun in Pentecostal churches established in the early 1900s. Again, it didn't start there. And it never was done away with from the time of Pentecost. It never stopped. It just depends on who you talk to and where they were. There were different people, groups of people who spoke in tongues ever since the time of Jesus. So This is not quite true. Not in charismatic churches. So it's just saying it's in Pentecostal churches, and it didn't start in charismatic churches. The charismatic movement began decades later. Okay. We know the advantage of having the Holy Spirit speak through you is he always agrees with God when he speaks. And if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him, the Bible says. Hey, that's a good deal. Exodus 15 and 26 through 27. Think about that when you hear this. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Isn't that awesome? God is in control of the diseases. And he is saying he can put none of that on you. And the Holy Spirit praying through you can be just the faith that you need, right? The Holy Spirit gives you faith and boldness, right? And let me say, you have to speak the promises of God. Without doubt. Don't destroy what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Remember, John the Baptist's dad spoke against what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, and he had to be struck dumb so he wouldn't say anything anymore until after the baby was born. Well, we've discovered that coming out of the heart of man is a spring, and its waters can be bitter or sweet. And we've also discovered that these sweet waters are the words that we speak in agreement with the Word of God and are a blessing to the people around us. They are a healing to the nations, and they spring forth out of our thoughts and our hearts. And over our tongues to become words of life. And we've learned that if we want to bring our tongue into submission, we must first repent, which means change your mind and agree with the Word of God. Many people don't think that this is important. They think that they can believe what they want to believe or teach what their Bible school believes. You can't. There's no power in that. You must agree with the Word of God. In other words, we must reprogram our computer. Now, I'm not saying you have to have done all of this before you can get deliverance from a plague. You can be a baby in Christ and get deliverance from a plague. I'm just telling you what will bring power to you and to the people around you, right? We need to reprogram our computer with the Word of God. Matthew 12 and 36 says, and I say unto you, that every idle word, that's unfruitful word, same thing, unfruitful word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Yes, because you've got no way to stop judgment if you don't agree with God. In this scripture, the Greek word for idle means barren or unfruitful. It's also used in James 2 and 20, which states that faith apart from works is barren. What is the fruitful work of one who believes? The most important work of one who believes is what they say. James 2 and 18 says, I by my works will show thee my faith. You know, faith without works is dead, the Bible says, right? So there are people that say they have faith, but their works don't agree with this. And this is not impressive to God. And it doesn't save, and it doesn't deliver. Just remember, we give account in a day of judgment because of those idle or unfruitful words that don't bear the fruit of Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, right? Colossians 1 and 27, right? And Matthew 12 and 37, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, which means accounted righteous, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So if you speak against the word of God, against what God says, that's just Antichrist words. That's all it is. They'll be unfruitful. They will not bring forth what you desire. So that's why we have a book about speaking confidently. The tongue conquers the curse is the name of it. And you, it's all about what God says about this, right? And because God is telling us that what we say is very important, and he will hold us accountable for our words. In some cases, if we are paying attention to what we are saying, as we read the scriptures, we become aware that we are speaking contrary to what God is saying. That's a good reason to continue to read the scriptures, the words of eternal life, right? We must understand that this contrariness is coming out of our heart, and that we need to repent. You know, watching your tongue is watching your heart, because your heart is where it's coming from. Romans 3 and 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words. That means accounted righteous in your words. You want to be accounted righteous? Say what God says. I'm not saying you have to quote him, but you have to agree with him. And mightest prevail. Okay, so if you do this, you're justified in your words. He said, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Do you want to prevail when you come into judgment? Say what God says. Agree with what God's word says. Jesus delivered you from the curse. He bore the curse for you, right? It's words that bring us into judgment. But it's righteous words that are in agreement with God that cause us to prevail when we come into judgment, because they justify us. God calls us righteous when we agree with him. These things should make us fear the Lord, depart from evil, and to train our lips. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in your tongue. This can be just your death and life, or the death and life of the people around you, as we saw in previous revelations. The tongue can bear either fruit unto death or fruit unto life. We're all going to prove whether we love death or whether we love life. We're going to eat the fruit of the one that we love, right? If you love life, you will obviously pay very close attention to what you say, and you will begin to train your tongue to come into agreement with the Word of God. Our minds are like computers. They need to be programmed so that what we see on the monitor reflects something that is beneficial and a blessing. A computer by itself is worthless without the monitor, right? And basically, God is saying that the monitor is the tongue. It reflects what is inside, agreeing with God, like the programming. And if you say that you're a believer and everything you say is contrary to what God says, then that's a lie. Let God be true, every man a liar. We need to reprogram this computer so that what comes out of our mouth is the word of the Lord and is effectual in changing us and the world around us. The Bible says the tongue is like a rudder that is able to turn the whole body. James chapter 3. It's a very powerful tool that God has given to us. Amen. And according to James, it's not just the mind, but what comes out of the mind that matters. In other words, it's the tongue that conquers the curse, not just the computer, but the monitor as well. You know, James 3 and 2 says, "For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also." We've discovered in Romans 12 that if we transform our mind, we will prove what is the perfect will of God in our life. We will walk in the perfect will of God because we reprogrammed our computer. But James is telling us that faith without works is dead. Many people worry how they're going to bridle this body or how they'll bring it under submission to the Lord. If you're worrying about that, then you don't really have the gospel down in your heart, because the Lord has already taken care of it for you. All we need to do is exercise faith in what he has already done. James 3 and 3. "But if we put the horses' bridles into their mouths, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also." And if you've ever ridden horses, it's amazing what that bit will do to make that huge horse turn. You know, this great big horse is under the control of a little man. And God is saying the tongue will do the same thing with your life. "Behold, the ships also," James 3 and 4, "though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. So the tongue also is a little member and boasteth of great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire." In other words, anyone goes on to talk about the tongue being a fire, it destroys things. You're exercising faith in the curse when you're talking contrary to God's promises, right? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you so much. We ask, Lord, that you, anybody listening today who desires to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you do so right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for pouring out your Spirit on and blessings upon your people. And those that have been filled can be refilled as they were in the book of Acts. Refill those who were once filled, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us today. And God bless you and keep you. And Michael Hare is going to come and share something with you. Father, bless him and bless everybody listening. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Good night.